Back in the midst of time, somewhere around the first and second centuries, the disparate and diverse Jesus communities that would eventually become what we now know as the church were exploring their identity. They had moved away from their Jewish roots, or more accurately, they had been pushed away from their Jewish roots because they were troublemakers. They were spreading throughout the Roman Empire and beyond, through Asia Minor, into India and Africa, as well as Western and Eastern Europe. They were wondering who was in, and, as seems to be the inclination of any human institution, they were wondering who was out. At the same time, we have the author of the Gospel of Luke creating a series of creation myths for this growing institution of what will be church. Firstly, in the stories around Jesus in the Gospel, and then in the book of Acts, the same author creates stories of the first disciples, or at least the first male disciples. But that's a rant for another morning. The book of Acts, as it later became known, is essentially the creation myths of the church, and I've said this before. Now, if you've been in any discussion group of any kind with me in the past few months, you've probably heard me say that I felt I was developing something of a jaundiced attitude towards Luke. But on reflection, that's not true. I have a jaundiced attitude to those of us, and I include myself in this, which is probably why I judge it so harshly. I have a jaundiced attitude to those who unquestionably consider this constructed history of Luke as anything like literal or historical. Scriptures, in the same way that so many of the stories of our scriptures do not depict historical events, but tell stories of faith. And over the centuries, we have become much more literal in how we relate to word and to text. But that's another conversation for another time. This is Pride Sunday, and I'm meant to be keeping this short. Institutions such as the church do wrestle with belonging. Who belongs and why? As far as we know, from the histories that we have, those who were leading various parts of the Jesus movements, particularly those we now call the apostles, were wrestling with how much of their Jewish heritage to retain. Indeed, they were wrestling with whether non-Jews could even be a part of what was initially a movement to reform Judaism. Into this steps Paul, who after some years as a preacher and teacher and pastoral theologian meets up with the original Jesus crew in Jerusalem. And by the end of that Council of Jerusalem, as it's called, we are told Paul is recognized as apostle to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews, and the other apostles continue their proclamation within the Jewish communities. This change of heart is summed up in story form in today's reading from the book of Acts, where Peter explains that he'd had a vision in which God said that none should declare unclean that which God has declared clean. And that this symbolized that those who were previously not subject to laws of the Torah were still part of God's work, God's community on earth, as evidence, says the story, by non-Jews receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. So far, so good, so mythological. And as I'm sure you will know, by saying that, I'm not being dismissive or derogatory. The mythic truth is far deeper and wider than a simplistic, literal, historic interpretation. The church, as it became, would go back and forth, and still does, on issues of inclusion and of welcome, on who gets to be considered clean or unclean, welcome or not welcome, celebrated or condemned. We see it in the ongoing culture wars of right-wing Christian nationalists which they use to distract from the frankly unchristian, unloving, and unholy actions of themselves, their leaders, and their politicians. We see it in the choices of churches to misapply a few verses of scripture to condemn any who are not cisgendered, heterosexual, or male, whilst at the same time ignoring the repeated calls to justice and taking care of the vulnerable and the needy that scripture says again and again and again. Spirit will always seek to embrace, to include, to welcome, to affirm. Spirit always says, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. God has blessed us with diversity in our gender identity, in our sexuality, in the various cultures and ethnicities of our world, in languages, in bodies, and in minds. And at this time when members of the LGBTQ2SII plus community, particularly our siblings in the trans community, are being vilified and persecuted in order that corrupt leaders may deflect from their actions and that those who call themselves Christians may find more excuses for their hate, in these times it is all the more important to remember Spirit, who calls us to expansive love, to affirming the rich variety of humanity, who calls us to stand alongside those who are speaking out against prejudice, to listen to the stories of queer folk, and to celebrate and affirm queer culture, to remember that pride began as a protest, a stand against the very prejudices that repeatedly rear their ugly heads in every generation, and are being enabled not just in the US, but in Canada, in England, in Europe, and around the world. We must listen again to Spirit, calling us out into the world, protesting all that condemns any as less than human. And we must ask ourselves, who are we to think that we could stand in God's way? Amen.